Well, good morning. I think there's a lot that we can be encouraged about as we look at the elections just passed and the way forward. Our mission, Frontline Fellowship, has been working in Sudan since 1995, a country that has suffered tremendously. The British were warned by the missionaries, don't make the black Christian South part of the Muslim Arab North. It's too many different alphabet, different calendar, different language, culture, everything. Honestly, make South Sudan independent or make it part of Kenya or Uganda, anything. Instead, they gave into pressure 55 years of war in South Sudan. Millions dead as a result. I've been working there since 1995, and I was trying to persuade the people of South Sudan to go for independence. They were at that stage fighting merely for autonomy. And I said, you will always be a minority in your own country. You will always be suffering if you stay in the United Sudan, which is 144 language groups. Not a country, it's an empire. And so I've worked up there trying to persuade the people in Sudan for the need for independence, that long-term freedom has to come with independence. And in fact, I was arguing with Colonel John Garang, the president of the Sudanese People's Liberation Army, about the need for independence. Yes? Oh, I'm sorry. Quite right. Again, technology helps if we plugged in and switched on. Colonel John Garang was not convinced that he could get independence for South Sudan. In fact, I've been bombed in Sudan multiple times and so on, arrested. Here's Salva Kiir, Commander Salva Kiir in the middle. He's today president of Independent South Sudan. When I met with him back in 2001, he didn't believe independence for South Sudan was viable. He's today president of South Sudan. Here's the governor of Equatoria, the man who gave me the Macedonian call, Kenneth Bringo on the far left, and Bishop Bulanduli. But this was while John Garang was a commander in the field fighting for autonomy, not thinking independence was viable. South Sudan is the youngest country in the world now since 2011. Independent and free of northern control, able to determine their own destiny. The key thing was 2005, they had a referendum for independence and the people overwhelmingly voted. Overwhelmingly, 90-something percent for independence. Okay, evaluating elections in South Africa and the way ahead. Auntie Pat, who has the Good for Nothing Party, she started in the Pan-African Congress, and she was part of the leadership that agreed with the St. James Massacre in 1993. I heard her marching in 1993 in August to the Claremont Police Station down Lansdowne Road, in the front row, chanting with everyone else, one settler, one bullet, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, one minister, one bullet, one church, one bomb. And I repeated that over and over. She then morphed into the ID, which lasted a few seconds, and then joined the DA, which, isn't it interesting, you look at this, not one of these three characters is part of the DA today. And how many of these are still part of the DA today? Just Mosimane. Well, Mosimane was brought in as a leader to bring the black vote into the DA. I don't think you might have noticed, but only 4.7 of all the black voters who actually registered to vote and actually voted, only 4.7% of all the blacks in South Africa voted for the DA in the last election. He did manage to shed about 500,000 votes, though. So instead of bringing in the votes, he's chased votes away with his nonsense. And the Good for Nothing Party of Auntie Pat has now effectively joined the ANC. She's now part of the cabinet. So how's that for stealing from the voters in the Western Cape? The DA, after spectacular growth under Helen Zille, has plummeted under Mosimane. The ANC's killed the lights. Time for us to take their power. Our promise to fight corruption, honest professional police force, fair access to jobs, secure our borders, speed up basic delivery service. Look, I wouldn't vote for the DA ever. To me, it's the DANC. They're just the ANC light. But the fact is, they did promise a provincial police force for you. That's an idea straight out of Cape Exit. We want a provincial police force. We want provincial railway. We want a whole lot of things which they were promising in order to keep the votes with them. There's been a whole lot of problems. I mean, we know what the problems are. Just before the elections, we had how many buses burning, how many trains burning. According to the Minister of Railways in this country, 75% of all railway arson occurs in the Western Cape, in the whole country. The Western Cape's been targeted, classic Marxist second phase of the revolution tactics. And therefore, in order to get our votes, the DA was saying a provincial police force for you. Well, they got their mandate, they got elected, we need to hold them to it. And it's not good enough for them to say, oh, well, you know, that's only if we win a national. No. They asked for a provincial mandate, they got a provincial mandate. They should move for a provincial police force, and we should not let them get away with it. This guy is probably a liar. But anyway, just he claims to be a minister of the gospel. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? This man supports abortion on demand. And he claims to be a Christian. He supports legalized pornography, legalized gambling, a whole lot of things which you would think, if he claims to be a minister of the gospel, he shouldn't stand for. But we can go further. DA feared setback in the Western Cape, and that's why they made a whole lot of promises, which was to appeal to the Cape Exit, Cape Party, secession-minded, Freedom Front voters. You've got to vote for us. And they were offering a whole lot of things, stealing promises from their competition. Or opposition. Nevertheless, to me, this bunch, the DANC cancer, notice the middle letters of cancer are ANC. A cancer is any cell in your body that doesn't contribute to the health but breaks down the health of that body. And that's what the ANC are. In fact, I think these three belong in the same category, quite right. They are the same. Oh, isn't this interesting? I thought that Ramaphosa and Julius Malema were enemies in competition, but obviously not. Wait a minute, isn't that the head of the DA? Is he leaning inwards, smiling? What does the body language tell you here? Opponents? Enemies? Diametric opposites? Or, come on, deception operation, working on the same side. To me, this team really works same, DA and C indeed. Whoa. Wait a minute, is this the man who is saying vote DA to keep the ANC and EFF out of the Western Cape? Look, we know they're frauds, but nevertheless they made public promises, provincial promises, and we should hold them to it. If they implement a provincial police force, it's a win. If they implement a provincial railway service, it's a win. It's a step towards autonomy on the road to independence. If they don't, they prove that they were liars and we shouldn't trust them next time. ACDP surprisingly gained. Freedom Front were the big winners. 300% growth. Phenomenal. And they are independence-minded, they're self-determination-minded, they're on our side. And so this is a good sign that they have jumped dramatically. And the Cape Party got 10,000 votes. It seems that the hundreds of thousands that were being promised by these other groups that, as you mentioned, didn't come through. Nevertheless, the fact is, they're a new entity, they are the banner carriers, the flag wavers for Cape Independence, they deserve support. When you look at how much you break down the election, you can see that actually, while the ANC got 57% of the votes cast officially, that's assuming IEC was really independent and it was a free and fair election and it wasn't corruption. Let's just take, which I don't believe, but anyway, let's just take that they had their worst, even with them controlling the system, appointing the IEC, they had their worst performance ever. So they lost a lot of votes. In fact, they only got 10 million of the votes, of the 17,000 votes cast, which is less than 11 million they got in 2014, and this shows they're on the wane. The Democratic Alliance got 3.6 million, representing 20% of the votes, lower than 22% they got in 2014. They've been vote shedding. The EFF gained from 6% to 10%, but actually I don't see the EFF as opposition or competition to the ANC. I see them a deception operation, the vanguard of the revolution, who are just working together with them. We've got a lot of evidence for that. The unexpectedly low turnout is that less people voted in the last election, 2019, than voted in the first one-man, one-vote elections back in 1994, and we've more than doubled our population. We had less people vote in 2019 than voted in 1994, and the population has doubled. What does that tell you? There's never been so much voter apathy. A lot of people don't bother to turn out. In fact, it seems that Ramaphosa did rally a bit more people who were deserting the ANC because of Zuma. Personally, I think Ramaphosa is far more dangerous than Zuma. I think he's one of the worst presidents we've had. My personal view is that Zuma was the least worst, Mbeki was the absolute worst, and Ramaphosa is the second worst after Mbeki, but he hasn't had as much time to do as much damage. Let's see where that goes. He has promised all sorts of things like addressing corruption. Well, he certainly has done that. He's re-elected the same corrupt criminals back in. Even Thabo Mbeki said that the ANC list of candidates is problematic because he said it basically amounts to re-electing a whole lot of criminals back to parliament. Thabo Mbeki says that. Well, he should know. He chose Zuma as his number two. So they called it, a Nigerian newspaper called it ANC's worst performance in 25 years, underscoring a pyrrhic victory that cast a slur on its reputation. I didn't know they had a reputation left, but... And there's a whole lot of critical views, but notice how the VF Plus, who's very secession-minded and independence-minded, they came into the fifth largest out of 48 parties. A good showing. No party grew 300% in this last election except them. And the EFF did pretty well, but considering the vast amount of media coverage, the stadiums they could fill, the huge amount of funding they had, they actually didn't do as well as predicted. The total of 14 parties and 1 seats in the Southern Parliament, with the ANC getting 230, DA getting 84, EFF getting 44 seats. Inkatha Freedom Party rallied from previous elections, did a better showing in KwaZulu with 14 seats, and Freedom Front plus 10 seats, plus 2 senators and I think 7 members of provincial councils. And the other 18 seats were split amongst 9 parties. So that's basically the rundown of it. But you can see the Western Cape consistently votes different from the rest of the country. The Western Cape has a different culture and ethos. In fact, there were, and these are parties that registered, which would include the Cape Party, who lost their deposit. Basically, if you don't win a seat, you lose your deposit, which is a bit of a racket. What we've got is the government, which votes for themselves hundreds of millions of rand of our taxpayers' money for their election campaigns. And the DA's official opposition also gets hundreds of millions of rand of our taxpayers' money. But all the other parties need to register votes and can lose their seats. And I think there's been quite a lot of proven fraud, double votings, things like that. Still, when we look at this, it's interesting that the DA and its supporters in the Western Cape, according to poll, over 66% of DA supporters in the Western Cape would vote for a referendum for independence in the Western Cape. Now, I don't think that represents the ideology of the leaders, the national leaders of DA, but their voters plainly are not so much voting for the DA as voting against the ANC. And therefore, we should consider what we can do to win within them amongst their support base, and that's why Cape Exit's got to be non-political, because while we've got parties in Parliament like the Freedom Front Plus who are sympathetic and supportive of self-determination, secession for the Western Cape, we've got parties that are against it, but their supporters are for it, like the DA. And, of course, the Inkatha Freedom Party is very pro-secessionist, and I think the Kingdom of Zululand might declare independence before the Cape of Good Hope. Could be. We'll see. But they'd be potential allies. So with 26 million people registered to vote, turnout was estimated at only 65%. And there was an incredible 235,000 votes voided, called spoiled ballots. And I would like an audit of that. I wonder how many of those were voting for parties like the Cape Party and so on, and how much were Freedom Front Plus votes, where they just added another stroke in order to void it. Because a spoiled ballot, you just need to even go over the box, and they can be very finicky. I've been there while there's been vote counting, and I've seen how often dishonesty takes place, and you've got to correct them over and over. The IEC is anything but independent. So nationally, you can see when it came to the black electorate in 2019, the ANC lost 5.8% of the total black electorate of those who actually voted. The DA gained 0.4%, which is basically worthless. The FF gained 5.5% of the total black electorate vote. It's extraordinary. First of all, you can see that low voter turnout always equals less votes for the ANC. A lot of people that I spoke to in townships weren't planning to vote because they said, the ANC's done nothing for us. Everything's bad. So the people who don't turn out to vote are people who are too scared to vote for another party, but they can't be bothered to turn out and vote for the ANC. And I spoke to many, many on the ground, places like Khayelitsha, who say they know what you voted. And they're afraid. Intimidation's a real factor. Huge amounts wouldn't want to vote for the ANC. Sometimes they're rounded up and forced to go to vote, but where possible, they avoid it. And so low turnout is actually a vote against the ANC as well. Interesting that the ANC got better votes nationally than they got provincially, which indicates that a lot of people in every single place, this shows how much of the overperformance, where the ANC would have more people voting nationally than voting provincially. Meaning, many seem to believe the propaganda that Ramaphosa offers a new dawn, but they didn't trust their local provincial ANC people for delivering. So they might have voted for an opposition party provincially, but nationally had voted ANC. There's a real massive trend that way, and nowhere stronger than in KwaZulu-Natal, actually. Nowhere stronger than in Gauteng and the Western Cape. There's also a whole lot who decided to vote for the provincial opposition while supporting the ANC nationally. They call that the Cyril Ramaphosa effect, or propaganda in the media. The ANC's down at all levels, but they lost the most provincially in KwaZulu-Natal. In KwaZulu-Natal, 11% of the total electorate who voted in KwaZulu voted against the ANC, who had voted for them previously. So we can see plainly that KZN, there's a move, especially in rural areas, back to Inkatha, who supports secession. Interesting how our currency has deteriorated since then. We're up to 15 rand to the dollar right now, and our economy is down minus 3%. So this is a clever cartoon. The ANC, the EFF, and you've got the SACP in the middle. Bear in mind, the South African Communist Party controls both. The ANC is an alliance where the Southern Communist Party is the determining factor. You can prove this if you go onto the Southern Communist Party's website. Southern Communist Party website says, aside from that, you can buy Lenin baseball caps and Lenin t-shirts, credit cards accepted, which seems very capitalist to me. But aside from that, they say, and they have said for decades, the SACP is not putting up candidates in the next election, but advise all cadres to vote for the ANC. What does that tell you? They own them. Every president of the country and of the ANC since 1994, including Mandela, have been senior members of the Southern Communist Party. It's basically the Communist Party controls EFF, and the Communist Party controls ANC, and they're standing in the middle of the seesaw in order to determine who gets what. This is the way it works. Southern Communist Party provides the brains, the ANC provides the front, political, the COSATU, which is the trade unions, provide the muscle. And we can look at how some parties like COPE have been gotten wiped out and others have been growing. But 9.3% of the registered voters did not bother to turn out to vote. And when you add to that the other 9 million South Africans who are voting age, that are not registered to vote, that means 18 million people, which is about more than the amount of people actually voted, which is 17 point something million. More people in South Africa who are eligible to vote did not either register or turn out to vote. So if you think about it this way, more than half of the total eligible voters in this country say, what difference could I make? They're the people we've got to reach. That vast bulk of people who don't even turn out to vote, and by the way, in municipal elections, it's an even smaller turnout. So we can make a huge difference in by-elections. There's one coming up in Durbanville just in the next week or two. And then, of course, municipal elections 2021, which can be absolutely key. But certainly we can see the fall of the DA and the fall of the ANC in popularity and the slight rise of the EFF and the very fast rise of the Freedom Front indicates positive trends, something we should be positive about. And just seeing how you can see the political cartoonists having heyday about these political fat cats and these pigs who's got this snout in a trough, taking from George Orwell's 1984, that the politicians are the pigs, and how they are looting the country. You know, the president lives like this, the minister lives like that, deputy minister like that, the premier lives like that, but the voters live like this. What does that tell you? Criminals. They are putting back in some of the worst corrupt criminals, all after making a campaign slogan of ending corruption and all this. So these are the fat cats in Parliament. They are absolutely like the most wanted list of a police file. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. See, I told you, Cyril, the majority in South Africa don't mind us stealing from them. You see newspaper headlines like this. Eskom, the powers of darkness, 139 billion rand theft stolen. Rape claim rocks ANC. Well, this country's been raped and looted by the ANC for decades. And just to give you an idea, the DA has stolen from us in Cape Town over the last 18 months 1.6 billion rand overtaxed, they call it underspent, of water for the so-called water crisis, which is more crisis of mismanagement. It's not the worst drought we've had in 127 years. It's the worst drought we had in 7 years. We had better rainfall back just in 2000. We had worse rainfall back in 2010 than we had in 2017. Nevertheless, they have overtaxed us in the Cape Town municipality, 1.6 billion over an 18-month period. This is something to really remind people of. South Africa is a gangster state. I'm sorry I don't have this graphic in rands, but it'll work. It's in dollars. To show you what $1 trillion is, okay? Of course, or trillion rand. We've got a 100 rand bill, so let's look at this $100 bill. It's the same thing, same size. 10,000 rand you could fit in your pocket. 1 million rand you could put in a Pick and Pay or Woolworths bag and carry it around with you. Here is 100 million rand. It's a pallet, a one-ton pallet. We use pallets of literature all the time. Here's 1 billion rand. 1 billion rand is 10 pallets. Okay, you can see the 1 million and 10,000, that size of man. 10 tons, 1 billion rand. Here's what 1 trillion looks like. Notice those are double stacked pallets, 2 tons on a pallet now. It's the size of a football field. That's the size of a pentecnicon, you know, the sort they keep looting and burning on the roads. There's the one pallet, there's the person. $1 trillion, or in the case rands, made up of 100 rand bills. This is what the South African government steals every single year. Forget Jan van Riebeck and Cecil Rhodes. The ANC loots one third, 33% of the total gross domestic product of South Africa every year. And that's according to the African Union's anti-corruption task force. Not talking about the European Union, the African Union calculates that the ANC government steals one third of the total GDP of South Africa. That's more than 1 trillion. But I'm just giving this for an idea. When you think of theft, now this isn't talking about normal theft. This isn't talking about inflation, which steals even more. This isn't talking about taxation. This is talking about theft by corruption. 1 trillion. I would estimate that we are stolen from more than half of your total salary. gets stolen by taxation, inflation, and corruption. If people could realize, if we get independence in the Western Cape, I've heard it said often from the Cape Party, we could halve our taxes and double our services. We can do better than that. Yes, the Western Cape's paying $200 billion a year in taxes. We're only getting $50 billion spent back in the Western Cape. But most of that's wasted, BBBEE, affirmative action, and totally unnecessary. If we were to move the Western Cape to a real free enterprise model, a la Singapore, I believe we could bring our taxes down to 1% of our total income. 1% or less. Especially if you get rid of all the completely unnecessary, worthless, and the massive corruption that is put onto all these BBBEE, affirmative action, cover for corruption deals. If our people could just understand how much they're being stolen from, every businessman, every farmer, every homeowner, every taxpayer, every employer and every employee should support Cape Exit. They should. It's in their financial interest. Do we want to continue to be looted? And it's not just that they want to loot us, they want to kill us. They literally want to take away your land, kill you and your children and your pets, if we're to take their posting seriously. And yet, the people who say, at last, a president to be proud of, about Ramaphosa, and that was a white woman, we should know better. Do we love to be made fools of that much? Name one single person who's been prosecuted for corruption successfully under Ramaphosa in the last 15, 16 months. I can't think of one. The ANC is killing us. They really are. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Not to mention General of the SANDF, so-called, whose official driver managed to shoot a woman in a road rage event with his official weapon and SANDF weapon in armed robbery and all that. Vladimir Putin of Russia says Africa has become a cemetery for Africans. When an African becomes rich, his bank accounts are in Switzerland. He travels to France for medical care. He invests in Germany and he buys from Dubai. He consumes Chinese, he prays in Rome or Mecca. His children study in Europe. He travels to Canada, USA, and Europe for tourism. If he dies, he wants to be buried in his native country. Africa is just a cemetery for Africans. How can a cemetery be developed? That's pretty bad when Russia's talking about our continent like that. You're complaining about not having a job, but you voted for the ANC twice? Three times? Four times? Five times? Six times? Our battle in South Africa is not about blacks versus whites or rich versus poor. The battle is between democracy versus communism. Communism spreading rapidly across the country. The promise of free stuff is attractive to the young, the uneducated, and the lazy. And the ANC will soon be throwing a celebration party for its members. Bottles will be popped, sleigh queens will be invited, they'll have German cars in convoy, the rest of you will be stuck with an ANC t-shirt, inked fingers, still unemployed, living in informal settlements, and you'll soon be burning tires and complaining about service delivery. Insanity is voting for the same party over and over again but expecting different results. Now these postings I've just shown you are from black South Africans. This man boasted of voting multiple times, encouraging his people to attempt to vote multiple times, and some boast of succeeding in voting seven times. Has he been prosecuted yet? They speak about a coalition government, but I think it was pronounced collision government, which is the way it actually is. At any rate, in the Bible, it says the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. And I think we see that. Now, the Freedom Front Plus is committed to communities, particularly Afrikaner communities, internationally recognized right to self-determination, treaties, and maintenance, protection, promotion of the rights and interests and the rights of self-determination bound by common language, common heritage in South Africa. And they have been very clear in this election. They are talking about the Afrikaans-speaking colored people too. So it's plainly a multiracial movement now. And Peter Murray spoke out expressly in my hearing about self-determination for the Western Cape and independence. With that, they tripled their vote, 300% increase, and took 500,000 votes effectively away from, I think, mostly the DA. And that's an interesting development. Just looking at why we need more cooperation, here are three independence-minded groups which together received enough votes to get a seat in a provincial legislature if they'd been together. We've got to get our people working together more, obviously. And yes, sometimes you don't feel that the majority is with you, but I still vote with the lion. Here's some demographic dynamics that I learned in military intelligence. 5% of the people make things happen. 15% of the people watch things happen. Like these people who, they've been told by this tour guide, you see over there, far in distance under the tree, you can see a lion. They don't see the lion next to them. A lot of people watch things happen. 80% of people don't have a clue what happened. 5% of the people think. 15% of people think they think. 80% of people never think. For those who think, we need books, seminars, conferences, documentation. I believe knowing our history is vital. History is a battlefield. Karl Marx said the first battlefield is a rewriting of history. For those who think they think, leaflets, video documentaries are needed. For the 80%, we reduce to sound bites, slogans, t-shirts, and bumper stickers. But every movement needs to mobilize every section of society, starting with leadership training books, seminars, conferences, going through leaflets, documentaries, not neglecting the sound bites, the slogans, and the social media. The billboards, the trailers, leaflets, put out, out there a whole lot of newsletters which include things like the farm murders, the second phase of the revolution, and the different attacks on our country. Social media is important. We see the goal is to inform people and to inspire people, but more important, to involve them. We want to educate people and we want to enlist people. We want to motivate them and we want to mobilize them. We've got to always move people to action, not just to tickle their heads or move their hearts, move their hands and feet too. We want the people to do something positive, constructive. Raw information, such as makes up the majority of newspapers and even the internet, is cheap. Understanding is valuable. Participation is most precious. It can move people to action. We've got a great community. Cape Town's unique. We've got over 380-year heritage of a distinct community and culture with our own parliament. We're unique in so many ways in the Cape. We need to mobilize the Cape for what's good for us. We're being robbed by the rest of the country, by a political clique of criminals and mafia up in Pretoria, and it's about time that we made a stand for our independence. Well, I wonder if anyone's got any questions, any challenge that I can respond to. Maybe I didn't make something clear. Any questions, any comments or criticisms?
Yes. How do you respond to this convention that South Africans have? Well, I'm voting DA and not them. Because this is what happens all the time. Well, I'm not going to vote for DA because it's insignificant. So I'm going to vote for DA.
Well, that's what makes the DA so successful, is not that people are voting for the DA, but they're voting against the ANC and the EFF.
My concern and frustration is how do we counter that? Because this has been a sort of a floor note for years now, and people still perceive the DA to represent them, whereas we know it's obvious they don't. I mean, DA ANC light, it's as it is. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, yes.
How would you approach this type of response?
They need to recognize that in the proportional representation system we have, no votes are really wasted, because we do have, plainly, the ability to elect through the proportional representation those who represent us. Now, plainly, who's going to represent your interests better in Parliament? The Freedom Front Plus or the DA? Well, and yet many people vote DA because they're bigger. Well, that's how they get bigger. But the DA doesn't actually have good track records. The DA likes to boast that the Cape is successful because of the DA. Nonsense. The Cape is successful because it's the Cape, despite the DA's mismanagement. And the DA has changed. From Tony Leon's days, it was something very different. Helen Ziller changed it again and made it very successful, but mainly campaigning on being against the ANC. The ANC was their best public relations people. And right now, when you see how the DA has mismanaged Cape Town, just take the water crisis as one scandal. We depend in the Western Cape on filmmakers coming here. My son, who's training in the film industry, says vast amounts of film projects have been cancelled from all over because people here, you're not allowed to flush a toilet and you can't shower in Cape Town. Just that alone, the water crisis chased off a lot. I know people who came here, planned international conferences here, who got it cancelled because they heard that you're not allowed to shower in Cape Town and things like this. And you've got to carry buckets of water. Now, the bad news spreads fast. We have chased away so many of our tourists and so many of the filmmakers. Many of our service industries depend on it. The DA has completely mismanaged the water crisis on so many levels. Here we've got Table Mountain. We've got springs of pure water flowing straight out of the city through the gutters into the harbour, never being used, harnessed, pure drinking water. Millions of litres of water wasted in a good rainfall time, just straight. We haven't even harvested the rivers properly. It's such mismanagement. And when people say we should be proud of what we achieved, well, the citizens could feel proud, but the city council should be ashamed. It's a disgrace. We never, ever needed any kind of restrictions like this before. As for power failures, how can we get power failures? We've got one of the only nuclear power stations on the continent of Africa at Kuburg. We shouldn't have power failures in Cape Town. This is a scandal of a high level. So Cape Town's been so mismanaged. And look at just this point. Helen Ziller, who built up the DA, got stabbed in the back by two affirmative action specialists that she chose, Cruella de Vil and Muzimani. And here, these people stab her in the back. If the leaders of the DA, which she trusted, who mismanaged and derailed her party and vote shedded, if they don't even respect the founder who lifted him up from nothing into this position, what respect do they have for us Cape Town ratepayers? Nothing. Did you have a question?
I'm sorry, just one more
question. Yes. The mic.
I also just wanted to mention the incredible pollution around our coastline. Can't swim there anymore. That means tourism basically is dead.
Yes. Cape Town's life needs to be built on green, clean, renewable forest, wildlife, domestic life, our oceans. This is our attraction. Hermann has built up a wonderful reputation around the world for people coming for whale watching and so on, and destroyed by lack of law enforcement. Here the DA say, vote for us to keep the ANC and EFF out of the Western Cape. Well, it would have been nice if they could have kept them from sacrificing a sheep on Clifton Beach and keep them from looting and pillaging and burning and destroying in Hermanus. How do you undo bad PR like that, or help pay for that matter? The DA can't even deal with ANC and EFF in their own municipalities, but they're talking about vote for us to keep them out of the Western Cape. Well, let's call them on that one. Great. And I don't think we should let them off the hook. They promised provincial police force, let's campaign for it. So I think we've got a lot to work on. Plainly, there's been a greater awareness of the option of independence. There's more people independence-minded. And according to an independent poll, a secular poll, 66% of DA voters in the Western Cape would vote for independence on a referendum. And when it comes to homeowners, it goes up to 72%. So there's no doubt we've got an increased awareness. It's our job to do better education, because we've got municipal elections coming up. We've got a by-election in Durbanville in just about a week and a half, and we've got the 2021 municipal elections. These are good goals to work towards. Thank you very much.